This is the main show, and you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
I'm Zach Owens.
This is Jessica Taylor Byers.
This is Brent Hahn.
We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there and you will find Archery Maniac Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork. Customizable video packages. Packages to fit all your hunt needs. Monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto Dehydration, make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super Tune Your Bow, Beginner's Bow Tuning Guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website. Do you suffer from target panic? Has buck fever affected your shot control at the moment of truth? Learn the science of shot control at ShotIQ.com. Joel Turner's controlled process shooting program will give you the tools to succeed in extreme stress shooting situations. Decide to succeed with ShotIQ. In this episode, Bruce Oldenkamp hops on the show. We talk a little bit about his start into archery, whether tournaments help him in hunting or not, the tipping point for him to venture out and hunt other states, learning to stalk, glassing techniques, finding high spots for glassing, tools that he uses for scouting, if tuning is beneficial to learn, and as well as nothing else matters when you're out hunting, his 2018 plans, and a bunch more. So I hope that you enjoy the show.
What's up, guys? This is Bruce Oldenkamp from Southern California out here on Archery Maniacs.
Hey, guys, and I'm your host, Zach Harold. Excited to have Bruce on the podcast tonight. Turns out that Bruce is a straightforward, no-bullshit kind of guy, just like I am. So you might want to know right up front that we're probably going to get to it. There's not going to be any fluff in this podcast. So...
no, there's not.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about we're going to get to know Bruce a little bit, how he got started into archery. He has kind of a unique startup in which he taught himself, which is awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about glassing, stalking, tuning your bows, as well as what we have planned for this upcoming season as far as hunts go. And I'm sure we'll get into something else. So, Bruce, it's a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. I appreciate you taking your time out this evening to hop on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Zach. I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, I look forward to it, man. I look forward to it. So, what, you know, reading through your podcast questionnaire, you were talking about how you got started. And you mentioned something about basically teaching yourself, which is, I think, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people that just go out and buy a bow and then teach themselves. They really don't, because I think people kind of get overwhelmed and everything like that and basically give up. So, you know, what was it about archery that drug you in, kept you interested, and kept you wanting to learn more as opposed to giving up? I mean, just a little bit that I've talked to you, it sounds to me like you're not the kind of guy that ever gives up, but I still want to know.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was kind of, I grew up in SoCal on a dairy farm. So I was kind of always in the outdoors, you know, I always hunted and fished and did everything. I mean, I think I was 10 years old when I got my first shotgun, walking around by myself, you know what I mean? So in that aspect, I was kind of lucky, you know, to be able to do that as a child. But as I grew up, obviously sports and everything happened in school and life, you know, and I got really heavy into predator hunting. So I was a big predator hunter, little bit started getting to big game. And then I actually went on a job in Alaska, and a good family friend was with us, and he was talking about his brother, and his brother was into archery and was talking about how he got to hunt during certain times of the year. And I'm like, well, shit, dude, I want to check it out. So as a 20-year-old kid in Alaska for 3 months working every day, I came home with a pocket full of cash and was looking for something to spend it on. So I went down to Riverside Archery and bought the bow, dude, and arrows and, you know, Wally down there at the shop, kind of just, here you go, you know, here's your rest and here's how you do this and that. And, you know, good luck. Let us know if you need anything. So just went home and just worked at it, bro, you know.
Started flinging arrows.
Thought it was awesome, dude. Just flinging arrows, man, you know. I mean, I would probably say my, looking at myself now, I'd say my anchor point's a little, probably a little different than most would do, but it works really good for me, you know, and it always has. So it's kind of one of those things, and that's just how I've done it and grown to, and learned to do it, you know. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. And then SoCal is a pretty, I would say, a pretty big scene as far as like archery tournaments, you know, local archery tournaments. You know, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's probably 6 local archery clubs that are all within 10 minutes to a couple hours from me. So pretty much every weekend you can go shoot. So that's kind of how I got big into shooting and I guess learning, and a lot of unmarked 3D stuff out here, you know. Mm-hmm. So that and then, yeah, just asking a lot of questions, dude, at 3Ds and kind of got my feet wet bow hunting local hills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think 3D archery is like a great, a lot of people you talk to, even new people, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm not ready for tournaments. So I'm like, dude, it's not really a tournament, you know? I mean, it's, I enjoy it because it's a bunch of people that have the same interests as you, you know, you have a good time and just chit chat, talk shit, whatever. And, you know, if you take it serious, well, then go ahead. I mean, if you're that worried about a $3 trophy, man, I mean, knock yourself out, bro, you know? So, but yeah, that's kind of how I got my start. And now, you know, here it is. I live and breathe it. And my wife would probably say I'm a little crazy about it. But, you know, that's her word against mine.
That crazy
boat
together, I guess.
Right?
So,
definitely, dude.
With you starting on the tournament side, you know, whether it was local or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Tournament to tournament, really. With you starting
right
on that side, how do you feel that, you know, 3D tournaments and things like that, what are a few of the aspects that that complemented you in and helped you with as soon as you started focusing more on hunting?
You know what I mean? It was, I guess, the repetition of it, dude. You know how it is. Shooting a bow, repetition. And proper repetition of shooting your bow is going to do nothing but help you. And then so much of it was unmarked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the first couple of critters that I ever killed, dude, I didn't even have time or get a chance to range them. You know what I mean? It was kind of one of those things. You looked at it and you're like, you know, 43 yards, whatever, you know? So I would say in that aspect, it helped me a lot. But being able to shoot, you know, and shoot pretty good, I mean, is a huge confidence booster for anybody coming into archery, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is huge, you know, especially like you're saying with all the unmarked practice that you were working on. That's, I mean,
right.
Just the confidence that if you look out there and an animal steps out, there's just purely the confidence that you're like, well, shit, I shot that distance just yesterday, you know? That's 38 yards. Let's go for it, you know? And that's huge.
You there? Yeah. I think I lost you there for a minute. But, yeah, I agree with you. It's definitely huge. I mean, you look at – there's not all the times we get a rangefinder and can get a range and you know, and do it that way. I mean, you look at that new Garmin – that Garmin sight that's coming out. I mean, it's like wildfire, dude, because there's a reason that there's a demand for it because it's instant range, you know?
Yep. Yeah, no kidding. If I had so, $800 extra floating around, I would probably look at getting one of those.
Yeah, I would definitely take it for a spin, you know what I mean? I would without a doubt, but a couple years ago, I went to a straight single pin slider, dude, for hunting, and man, I should have done it years ago, dude. I should have done it a long time ago.
Yeah, I
do. I think it made all the world a difference for me.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. I really do. I don't know. It just seems like it's so much easier to not have all those pins there clouding your field of view and everything like that. Like, it just, and it builds my confidence too, knowing that if, especially on the longer shots, you know, it's not near as bad on like a 20 or 30 yard shot, but on like a 50, 60, mm-hmm. 70, 80 yard shot, if I range it, if I have time to, and I look down and it says 77 yards and I can dial directly to 77 yards, the confidence in that shot is through the roof, you know?
Yep. I'm 100% with you, dude. I switched out of it because I get big mule deer bucks drive me nuts, bro. So they get under my skin a little bit. And
join the club.
I can tell you personally that I have wrong pinned. There was a few years there where I wrong pinned deer. I mean, there was one buck in Arizona a few years back, and he was 35 yards, and I drew back and came up on him. And when my 25 pin crossed him, I dumped it. You know what I mean? So yeah, that was the beginning. That was the end for me. So I went to a single pin and I said, I'm going to live and I'm going to die by it. You know? So
I actually,
What it is, man. And it's done nothing but work out for me.
Good. I actually went to a single pin,
you know,
watching, Cameron Haynes. and he had the Bod Hog Hogfather, and I got that sight and started shooting it, and my target panic got better, you know, not having all those other pins in my view and everything like that, which is awesome.
But
the one thing that screwed me over is I'm a dyslexic son of a bitch. So I missed a deer one time because I ranged the deer at 43 yards, and I looked down and I moved my sight to 34 yards.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Or no, sorry. Yeah, it's the opposite. I ranged him at 34 yards and I moved my sight to 43 yards. You know?
Lovely
dyslexic, you know? It's just so cool.
Right.
But luckily, it was dogging the doe, so it ran out dogging this doe, and I ranged it at 60 yards, and 60 yards far enough away that even my dyslexicness couldn't kick my ass there.
Right? Exactly. Nice.
Yeah, so with your hunting, you know, as you know, you got more and more into bow hunting and everything, like, and shooting bows and more into it. At what point did you decide, okay, California is no longer enough, I need to start hunting multiple states? Like, what was kind of the tipping point for you to start venturing out into other states?
You know, I mean, you meet some of those old timers and, you know, guys at the local, you know, archery shoots and stuff, and, you know, you hear the stories and kind of piques your interest, and, you know, you start getting your feet wet. And for me, it was kind of backwards, dude. I mean, I did a little bit of local hunting, you know, in California, but for me, it was out of state. It was the Utah special, you know what I mean? I mean, my first archery deer was, you know, in Utah, cruising the roads, and there's old freaking Mega Forky on the side of the road, and you're doing the old Statue of Liberty as the truck keeps driving by, and you're standing on the road or off the road. Well, Statue of Limitations is up. So, yeah, you're standing on the road, and the Forky's looking at the truck driving away, and you're freaking smoking him, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I got my start, bro. That was my first critter, you know what I mean?
Dude, but I completely get that, you know? Because in Wyoming, it's the same thing. You know, if it's a two-track road, you can't just you can't be standing directly on the road.
Right.
You know, so if you jump out of the truck and you walk 5-10 yards off the road, and that animal continues to watch the vehicle drive away, you're completely legal.
Absolutely. Yep.
And when you are first getting started, one of the most frustrating thing is all of a sudden realizing that you're not as fucking sneaky as you thought you were, and getting into 60 yards is a hell of a lot harder than you think.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. I agree with you, bro. I think everybody should do that. Utah, Wyoming, whatever, man. And get that first forky under your belt, you know?
That first kill.
Get it under your belt. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Yep. Absolutely, man. Without a doubt. Absolutely. You know? So.
And that's,
I agree.
That's kind of a cool point to bring up is it's funny to me. Because I have friends in Georgia and all that kind of stuff. But when you buy a hunting license in Georgia, you can shoot something like $2 and 10 to 15 does on one license.
Wow.
So here I am in Wyoming. I buy a
hunting
tag and a deer tag. If I'm successful, I've shot two animals in one season with my bow. Cool. On the flip side, here's my buddy in Georgia shooting 15 or 17 or however many he shoots. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I've got to get to where I can hunt more states or something so that I can get more experience under my belt, because I love the challenge and everything like that. But the only thing that's going to make me better is being in the red zone at full draw shooting at animals. And the only way I can do that legally is by going to more states.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think that's for the hardest. It's one thing when you find the animal, and then it's another thing when you go in there to kill that thing, you know? So I know, you know, starting out, I mean, we got freaking jackrabbits everywhere, and there's fields that have just crazy amounts of jackrabbits, and I'd go take my little brother over there, and we just, you know, stalk jackrabbits. You know, you learn, you think it's stupid, but you learn so much just from that little bit.
Yeah.
Stalking and bow hunting jackrabbits, you know? So.
Well, yeah, it's still an animal.
That's definitely a learning curve, you know?
And that animal, whether it's a jackrabbit or not, they're still viewing you as a predator. So.
Absolutely.
You still have to do everything right, basically, is what I'm trying to get at, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
But,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the just shooting stuff with a bow, man, it's just so much fun.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything there. I mean, yeah, I've never done any drugs in my life, but I could only imagine there can't be a better high than when you run that freaking carbon meat missile through a freaking heart or a lung, pair of lungs, whatever, you know.
Oh yeah, when you
there
just
cannot be.
You know, and you let it go, and you just watch it arc and then just disappear through the animal. You're just like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Let the fist pumping and hooping and hollering begin, you know? It's kind of, right? Yeah. Definitely, dude.
So, along
you know,
with,
there's no.
Along with doing your stalking jackrabbits to get better, which is awesome, it's interesting that you say that, because I've done stuff like that with my son. He's 5, almost 6, and he and I, you know, we practice stalking on doe deer and stuff like that, but if we're doing something and there's a rabbit over there, I'm like, okay, bud, let's go stalk up on this rabbit, and I let him do everything, you know, and then I just kind of kind of direct him, you know, like, hey, there's this bush
right
here. Maybe we should, what, you know, do you think we should get behind that bush? Yeah, dad, right. Let's go behind that bush, you know?
right.
So,
right.
You know,
and that's the whole thing, you know what I mean? I don't think people realize is, yeah, the more you do it, the more experience you get doing it, the better you're going to get at it. It's just like anything else, you know?
Yeah.
So.
100%.
You know, so, it's definitely.
You know, stepping up from practicing on jackrabbits, what's some of the things that you did to get better at, you know, like your glassing skills and things like that?
I guess, you know, I was a big I guess, I hunt a lot of desert, dude. I mean, a lot. I would say 90% of my hunting is all spent in the desert. I love the desert. I drive by. I drive by or, yeah.
I do
the
same thing.
I drive by and through the desert, and I look at the desert like, oh, my God, I got to get in there, dude. I got to look at that. Oh, look at this country. You know what I mean? And you, some of it, you look at it, you think, dude, there's lizards. That's it. But I love the desert, so. Yeah, I mean, it didn't start that way out, you know what I mean? Starting out, I'm like, okay, I got to get up in the pines and the, you know, the scrub oaks and find all that good shit, you know? Well, I hate walking around and, you know, people don't realize they're pushing deer more than they're even seeing deer, you know? So I kind of learned that a set of Saguaro 15s on or something, you know. I mean, I run the Saguaro 15s on a tripod, and depending on what I'm doing, I'm either climbing, you know, really high and getting on some kind of knob in the desert to where I'm looking down, or if I'm changing some stuff up, it could be something where you're glassing even from the truck, you know, and you're glassing foothills and sides of mountains and stuff like that. But if I can't see them, I'm not, you know what I mean? I have nothing to kill, so I will not. I mean, I'll hike, you know what I mean? I mean, there's times where we'll hike straight up for almost an hour just to get to the top of a knob, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I mean, it's a huge knob, but you get up tight there. You got to think about it as if you're looking down at that ground like a topo map, you know what I'm saying? The higher you go. Like even when you're in Google Earth and you're looking down, you're looking straight down, you're looking in those cuts, you're looking in all that stuff. So the higher you go, the better view you're going to have. Okay. If you're just off the bottom and you're just kind of looking on the top of things, you ain't going to see them, man. And if you can't see what you're looking for, you ain't going to kill anything. So that is that's how I pretty much hunt. I live and die by the glass, you know, and I use it a lot for everything. I mean, in August here in California, our bear season starts, and I head up to Northern California, and it's all sitting behind glass and bears, and then spot and stalk them, you know. I love spot and stalk. Don't even try to talk me into sitting in a ground blind, in a tree stand. I have no patience, bro. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? I'll glass you with you for days. I mean, nonstop, you know, but as far as any of that other stuff, forget about it, dude. It ain't going to happen.
When you are talking about finding your knobs, you know, getting up on these on high points, mm-hmm. are you finding mm-hmm. those just by being in the area, or are you finding those off of Google Earth? Like, how do you usually find those?
Tons and tons of Google Earth, dude. Tons of Google Earth, you know what I mean, will show you. Because you want to have country that you're looking at, you know what I mean? You can stretch out there with the 15s a few miles, man. You know what I mean? And really get a good look. So you, for the most part, you want to find a knob that has everything you want to where you can see as much country as you can. But at the same time, I mean, a bitch of knob would be a 360-degree view and you can see for miles in every direction, right?
Yep.
So you want to try to find that in any way you can, you know? And sometimes you might have to go, you might have other knobs around, you know, it just kind of, there you go again with Google Earth and you check, you know, elevations. So you see, you know, that's a 700 footer, you know, that's only a 500 footer or, you know, and then you zoom in and go on ground level and you can kind of 360 around and kind of see what you have as far as a knob wise, what you're looking at, you know?
Yep.
So definitely, lots of Google Earth, dude. I had a little episode with my Google Earth was acting up the other night, and I was like panicked, dude, panicked. I'm like Googling how to save all my pins, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, I found a way to save all my pins. They're in my hard drive now, you know what I mean, and backup hard drive, because I was like panicked, dude. I mean, it was scary. You know what I mean? There's years and years of shit on there, dude. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is bad. So I ended up deleting it off the computer and have to re-download it. And then uploaded all my pins again. But, you know, You know how it is. Google Earth is an amazing tool, man. It really is.
You know, and that's actually that's a good topic right there. You know, I love Google Earth, but a tool that I love as much, honestly, more unless I'm focusing on the terrain, is Onyx Home Maps.
See, I'm going to have to take that for a spin. I keep hearing a lot of good stuff about that, too, dude.
Man, I am telling you, you can buy the entire deal for $100 a year, and then you can get the Boone and Crockett deal for $9 a year, and then you can get the Eastman's plug-in for $11 a year. So you can literally hover over a unit, you can click on it, and it'll pop up and tell you, in that, you know, because obviously that unit's in a county, it'll tell you how many bucks in the Boone and Crockett records have been harvested out of it.
Right.
And it's insane, man. And it's just, it's incredible. It really is. I mean, you can zone it in so that it tells you where roadless areas are. It can tell you where places that just burnt in the last 5 years from wildfires are. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
Technology, really, dude, puts so much at your fingertips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely.
For sure.
It's a beautiful thing, that's for sure.
It is. It is. What are there any other tools besides Google Earth that you prefer to use?
I use Google Earth pretty much, you know, for the most part. And then, you know, cell phone, obviously. And then transfer, like, a lot of pins. I got, like, a little app. I forget what it's called now on my phone. But I can transfer pins to it, and then it goes on to like a topo. So if there's something that I haven't been there before or something I want to check out, it's on my phone, and then I can just, you know, use my phone as GPS and go that way. So
that's
kind of how I run. But, yeah, the Onyx Maps is definitely going to be one of the things I'm going to have to check out, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, it's
– I was poking around on it at the expo in Salt Lake the other week.
Yeah, are you speaking of expos? I know Reading isn't an expo, but are you going to shoot Reading?
You know what? I've shot it a couple times now. I enjoy Reading. The problem is, I go to Reading, and you know, I got a lot of friends and stuff, you know, that go up there and travel. And dude, we end up partying like rock stars, and you're going to bed at freaking 2 a.m. You know what I mean? I mean, I go up there. I don't go up there with the intent to freaking, you know what I mean, kick some ass and freaking shoot badass. I go up there because I'm going to go party, you know. if you're looking for me, you can probably find me in the beer garden, dude. If not, you know, I'll be in town finding something with something cold to drink. So, yeah, that's how I pretty much, yeah, you know what I mean? Same thing. I mean, I've gone to ATA before, and dude, it's just a party, bro. Is all it is. But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, good. You're doing it right if you're having fun.
Yeah. If you ain't having fun, I don't want no part of it. You know what I mean? So.
Right. With your bow knowledge and everything like that, you know, growing and moving forward, what would you say has been one of the most beneficial things as far as tuning your bow that you've learned to do on your own? What would you say is one of the most beneficial for you?
I guess, yeah, being able to tune your bow yourself and kind of understanding the concept of what you want to do. Obviously, you want that arrow to come out of that bow as straight as possible. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't want it coming out tearing hard to the left or tearing hard to the right to where your fletchings are the ones that are taking control of it and correcting it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm a big bear shaft tune kind of guy, you know? So I'll set usually center burger and then, you know, and set center shot and then, you know, go into starting and getting twisting and untwisting and, shimming and doing all that stuff to where I can stand at 20 yards and shoot a bare shaft that'll hit with my field tips that are fletched, and then hit with my broadheads. You know what I'm saying? And I know that arrow is coming out of the bow straight. You know what I mean? It's not tearing out of the bow. I know it's coming out straight. So the only thing that the vanes are doing is just, they're just there to help it, you know, mm-hmm. as little bit. But you know that when that arrow comes out of that bow, it's doing what it needs to do. So.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. I think too, you know, the amount, you have so much more power and energy in your arrow once you get center shot and, you know, your arrow actually square with your string and all that, you know, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, that all ties into center shot and having a good bullet hole and everything like that. But it's just incredible how much more power and speed you get out of, obviously speed directly correlates to power or kinetic energy, right. and you know, but it's just, it's amazing. It really is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think your bow is more forgiving. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's times where, you know, you break one loose and you're like, oh, shit, you know, and then you're next to you looking like, whoa, wait, that ain't too bad, dude, you know? So, yeah, I definitely think your bow is a little more forgiving in that aspect. And, you know, yeah, just, I know you can chase that rabbit hole as far as you want down that hole, you know, but mm-hmm. I like to keep it pretty simple. Obviously, make your timing dead on, and then you start going into your other stuff and make sure that arrow's coming out of there straight. You know, you ain't got no hard tears, and for the most part, I think you're pretty good, dude. You know, so I know some guys that are, yeah, a little too over the top about it, but I haven't had any problems with it. And if it ain't broke, I ain't fixing it. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think you know, when I see the guys that are over the top about it, I personally have respect for them, in the sense that I know all the little things and the paying attention to detail that they're going through just to get that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then on top of it,
right.
I'm such a huge believer of, if that's what it takes to make you feel more confident, then cool to it, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So...
confidence is the number one key, dude.
Oh, dude, no kidding.
Yep. You better be confident, that's for sure.
Yeah, it will literally make or break you so quick. And then, as you know, you get up on these hunts, start out confident, and then Mother Nature and the terrain, and you miss a shot or whatever else, and all this stuff is just like pounding on your confidence, and you're just like, son of a bitch, now what?
yeah, no, I agree. I guess a good hunting buddy of mine, he always bullshit and talk shit because I guess I'm not gonna lie, I'm just stubborn son of a bitch, and you know, I hate to lose, period. You know, so I'll do whatever I got to do to get it done, you know, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, confidence definitely is going to save your ass and keep you going. That's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. So with, on the hunting, you know, talk to me a little bit about, you know, when you're up there hunting or in the desert, it doesn't really matter, wherever you're hunting. You had mentioned mm-hmm. in your questionnaire that bow hunting is so important to you because nothing else matters when you're out there. So kind of talk to me a little bit about that mindset and how you feel that helps you not only with focus, but with also just enjoying your hunt and everything like that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we all live busy lives. I'm a project manager for a large construction company, government construction company. But so my plate is pretty busy and pretty full, you know, father, you know, husband, you know, got two little boys. So hunting's a release. Probably, I'm sure it is for a lot of people out there. But But nothing else matters out there, dude. I mean, you get out there and you can have a bad day. You can have a good day. It's up to you, ultimately. But it doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter if you got 50,000 followers or, you know, if you are, you know, anything. Once you get out there, it's you against that animal, and that's it, you know. So you better put it all on the line if that's what's important to you. And if you're there to, you know, kill something and that's what you want to do, well, it's time to get with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. It's kind of a funny thing to me, you know, because I obviously I'm in the world, do the podcast and everything like that, but some of the stuff that I see on Instagram, and I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole because we don't need to, but it just makes me shake my head.
dude. It's kind of scary, really, bro, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you get crucified for, you know, grip and grins anymore, and you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, we're becoming our own worst enemy, you know.
Oh,
so,
man.
I love it. I love to have a good time, dude. So, if it ain't, you know, I can promise you, there's a ton of shit talking and laughs and all kinds of shit with when we're hunting. So,
yep.
That's what I do it for. That's what I enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I'm all about the challenge, man. And don't get me wrong, 100% love the meat. If we didn't have the meat, I don't know what we'd eat, because I'm not all that fond of chicken and stuff like that. So 100%
I hear
love
that,
the
dude.
Meat, but man, just the challenge of doing all of it and the camaraderie and being with, you know, like my son and my wife and other friends and family. It's just, man, that's stuff that I'll never forget, and I hope it means enough to the people I do it with that they never forget it too. You know, that's a big deal to me.
Right, absolutely, you know, definitely out there with friends and family and making memories, bro, is what it's about,
right?
You know, at the end of the day, that's all we'll have. Yeah, we might have a rack or something hanging or, you know, a picture, but the memories is what brings you back every time.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, that's the only reason that I started filming my hunts. The only reason.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't
no
so
kidding.
That I could be like, hey, look at me, you know, I can film and do all this other shit. Like, the only reason that
right.
I did it is so that someday, if I ever have grandkids, I can say, this is how we used to do it back in the day, you want to see? You know, stuff like that. Like,
right.
To me, that's
right.
So cool. My dad has told me some amazing hunting stories that I have just been like, if you guys would have been able to film some of those stories, my gosh, that would have been such a great watch, you know? And I just imagine someday, even my son, you know, he was on an elk hunt and he walked in like 15 miles all together and stayed out two nights with me and
holy shit.
Yeah, everything. And he was 4 years old. And
wow, dude.
So I filmed all that and then made a video out of it.
He's
know?
A tough little sucker, bro.
Yeah. You should have seen it.
He is a badass.
I film all this and I make a video out of it. And you know, the one thing that I didn't get on video is this elk, this fog is rolling in and this, I don't know, 310, 320 bull lets out this giant scream. And with the fog, like, it had created a wall all the way around us, kind of, so it just directed it right to us. And he turns and looks at me, and his eyes are about as big around as half dollars. He goes, Dad, did you just hear that giant elk?
No kidding. That's awesome, dude.
So I got all this stuff, you know, made that film, and that's something that, heaven forbid, if I ever get to where my memory isn't very good or whatever, all I got to do is click play and I can be there again with him, you know, and that is the sole reason, is so that I can relive memories. That's why I started filming hunts.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep. No, I agree with you, dude. Definitely. Yeah, I'm bad about it too. I mean, even pictures alone, you know.
Yeah.
A video would definitely be the way to go. I did a little bit of video. There's a couple, if you get a chance, there's a couple bear videos I did.
Oh, sweet.
California Spot and Stalk bear videos that are on YouTube that I did. And yeah, I kind of went down that rabbit hole, you know what I mean? And then quickly realized, oh, F it, you know. I got a bunch of footage of some deer hunts and stuff like that. And, you know, I just kind of keep it on my computer and, you know, get in that hard drive every once in a while and laugh your ass off. You're like, oh, that was awesome. But
yeah, and surprisingly to me, I didn't really think that this would happen. But as I'm getting a little bit better, I'm not going to say I'm not good at all at editing, but as I'm getting a little bit better, it's kind of fun for me because it's a challenge to take all that footage and the pictures and everything like that and try to make a good video about it that really tells the story of the hunt and what we went through and what it was like. You know, that's becoming
right.
It's actually pretty fun. And on top of it, obviously self-filming adds another dimension to make it even more difficult. And we've already been told that I like challenge. So it's just like all of it works together and makes a great challenge. And I love it.
Right. Well, hats off to you, bro, because if it's self-filming or freaking killing that deer, elk, whatever, I can guarantee you I'm going to worry about killing that thing before I worry about filming it.
Right?
That's for sure. I can promise you that.
Bring that up because it used to be the only time it changed is when at the beginning of the season I told myself, this year I'm focusing on getting it on film. I'm not going to shoot unless I have it on film. And that was the only thing that changed it for me because before then, you know, I'd go in like, oh, yeah, I want to film this, that, and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be in the middle of a stock and be like, fuck this camera. I'm leaving it back here. I'm going to set up on the tripod. I'm just going to hope to God that it gets everything in frame. I'm just going for it. I'm leaving the camera.
Right. Yep.
So
that's
now
me
I just
right
made
there,
the
dude.
Effort, or not really the effort, the decision. Until I made the decision that it was going to be on film, I completely get it because it was the exact same way.
right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it up and do it again. I mean, it's definitely cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool to have those memories and it's cool to do. So
yeah. And
especially
like,
anymore. I find myself getting a lot of enjoyment anymore. You know, hunting with friends and seeing your friends succeed is, I would say, any more almost brings more enjoyment to me than you know, I mean, being the one down there succeeding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I enjoy seeing other people succeed. So, I mean, in Arizona this year, I didn't even go on a single stalk. You know, I was with a couple buddies and I watched them run amok for 2 months out there, you know, and it was awesome, dude. I loved every second of it. You know what I mean? I wanted my one buddy in particular that hasn't killed one in Arizona just to smash one so bad. So it's like you're pulling for him every time he's down there, you know? So
and that,
it's definitely an awesome thing.
That right there is another thing that I have really taken to filming for. Because, you know, like my dad this year is the first year that he's had shoulder surgery and elbow surgery. So he shoots a crossbow. And this was the first year that we were able to get everything together and him make the shot happen. And I was able to get it all on film. And that was like,
wow,
that was like the coolest feeling in the world watching that arrow just. You know, his first shot was terrible. I'm not going to lie. It's all up on YouTube. It was bad. His first shot was really low. Well, he missed his first shot. Then the antelope stood up and just stood there. So I reached over and cocked his crossbow and gave it back. And then he shot really low and he hit through both elbow joints on both front legs.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just was like, oh, God. You know? And
right.
right then it's like, well, we're either going to shoot this antelope or the tag's punched. You know, we're not going to go shoot another one, that's for sure. So we ended up getting up there and got within range, and he just TKO'd that sucker on that third shot. I mean, perfect.
Awesome.
And you just watch the green and white fletching spinning through the air as just drills this antelope. And I turn over, and just the excitement in my dad was insane, because he's shot a lot of stuff with rifle, but most of the time he just hunts for meat, you know? And seeing that excitement, and then on top of it, having my son there and my wife there, like, man, that was – now I have that forever, you know? And that's it. That was the coolest thing ever. So that was – that's one thing, you know, when I go out with buddies and things like that, I'm just like you, where I am rooting for them 100%. But if there's any way that I can be filming and right there with them, and maybe even, you know, if the wind changes direction, they don't notice it, I might notice it. You know, like, hey, you know, we got to go this way. You know, I felt the wind change or whatever, but I'm still filming and making those memories too. It's just freaking awesome.
Yep. No, I agree. Definitely. Definitely is, man.
So what's on the docket for 2018 for you?
Well, I mean, I usually love Wyoming, but they were pretty fucking mean this year and decided not to give me an elk tag again. So there goes that idea, dude. You know, I was planning on heading back to Wyoming this year and doing a backpack elk hunt again, and yeah, dude, they screwed that shit up big time. So apparently everybody wanted to jump around and change shit up this year and screw up the draw odds, but oh well, it is what it is. Back to the drawing board. For sure we'll be elk hunting. I mean, I'll probably be in Idaho and Colorado. I'll probably be in Wyoming, period, backpack hunting deer.
Cool.
But elk in Idaho or Colorado, depending on the rest of the draws, you know. I mean, we still got New Mexico and Utah and Colorado I will draw Colorado next year for sure. But
elk or deer?
As far as, you know, elk.
Cool.
I should draw, Yeah, over-the-counter elk probably this year, and then, you know, Wyoming elk, and then Cali, man. Hunting Cali, and then spending all December and January in Arizona. So do a lot of over-the-counter tags, dude. That's kind of what keeps me going. But, I mean, just on over-the-counter tags alone can pretty much stay busy from, you know, August 1st to January 31st. I mean, if you wanted to hunt every weekend, you pretty much can, you know.
Yep.
And that's California pretty much from August to the end of December, you know. Gotcha. So
I've never really looked into hunting California, so I honestly don't.
You know what? It's kind of funny, dude. It's kind of – I hate even talking about it, honestly, because it's mind-boggling, really. I was at the expo in Salt Lake, you know, a few weeks ago. And
I almost went to that, too.
Did you really? I just went because I wanted to put in for the stupid tags. You know how that is. And then – yeah, just go bullshit. But, yeah, drive 9.5 hours just to go spend some money and turn around and come back. Bonsai trip. Literally drove there Friday and came home Saturday. But we were at the Hunt Crazy – or not Hunt Crazy, Muley Crazy booth. And one of the guys there was like, oh, Cali, I feel bad for you guys. Dude, you guys actually got hunting around there? And I'm like, if you only knew, bro, you know?
Yeah.
If you only knew, man. I mean – the local D zones around here, you know, are pretty much over the counter, and you can buy $2 deer tags, dude. So the last 2 years I've killed 2 deer in California on over the counter tags, you know?
Yep.
So
I saw that one and, you shot too. That $1 was a stomper. Like super heavy and stuff. I just
yeah.
Man, look at that thing.
Yeah, there's this year was pretty. I shot one. He's a 12x14.
Whew!
Yeah, he's pretty crazy. And then I shot one that went. He's a 3x4 that just went over 30 inches. So
that's
on
awesome.
Over counter tags, dude. You know, so they're here, dude. You know, it's funny. You hear even a lot of local people. You know, they talk about the X Zone premium tags, and it's like, man, dude,
sure,
you feel
the
new. You know,
go up there.
Yeah, exactly. Go hunt the pines, my friend. Yes, they are up in the pines. Go, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. California
the
doesn't
same
have deer.
Right. You know what's sad though, dude? It's really sad though. You look at, you know, as a state and whole, it's a shithole. I understand that. But you look at our winters and stuff like that, and our country as far as habitat country wise, dude, we could have some of the best hunting in the West. We could, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But it's so ass backwards bullshit that it doesn't. I mean, I'm guilty of it. 2 deer tags, 2 buck tags a year. You know?
Yep.
You look at the Bears, they outlawed dogs on bears. The bear population is so out of control, it's nuts. I mean, I go up north to go bear hunting. I'm trying to think. Last year, I think I seen 8 bears. The year before that, I seen, I think, 12 or 14 bears.
Man.
I mean, that's just glassing them up, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're out of control, you know? You look at, and then, I mean, fuck, we could go down the rabbit hole of mountain lions, you know? I mean, for fucking Christ's sakes, you know? I mean, yeah, it's bad, dude. It's bad. So,
oh, man.
It could be really good, but unfortunately, yeah, I think the whole world knows what kind of shithole California's turning into, but so I keep saying it. Someday I'm going to get out of here. Someday I'm going to get out of here. You know, it's crazy too, Rand. I mean, I know it sucks sometimes. Dude, it's embarrassing even when you go out of state hunting, dude. You know, you're like, oh, fuck. You know, you see other hunters and you got California plates on and immediately they're like, fuck this guy. You know what I mean? I was in Utah, dude, for the expo. And I'm checking into my hotel, and, you know, it was a hotel right by the expo, and the lady was like, oh, okay, let me have your license, give my license. She's like, oh, California, where are you from? And I was like, you know, Southern California. And there was another lady right next to me checking in, and she was from Utah, and she's like, ew, go back to California. And I'm like, damn, dude, just judging me, you don't even know me, you know? Oh, it's crazy, dude. Yeah, it's crazy how much we're judged, you know. But there is people. Keep in mind, there is still some good people in California. So don't judge us all, you know. So yeah, it's kind of yeah. It's funny when I go hunting and stuff too. I'll park my truck. I don't have any. I took the front license plate off, so I always make sure, you know, hide in the back of the license plate, you know. So I don't want anybody slashing my tires or something because they're like, oh, this fucking California guy, you know. So we're judged, bro. It's not right.
Well, I am I agree with you in your over-the-counter theory and thoughts. I think too it's almost crazy once you start looking at enough of other states, you start to realize how many states actually offer over-the-counter tags that you're guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of mind-boggling, you know, it really is. And what I like so much about that is, yeah, you're almost guaranteed that it's not going to be as good as a premium tag. Whoop-de-doo. But you can also be guaranteed that if you hunt that general over-the-counter tag for 10 years in a row, and on the third year you start to figure out where in the hell to hunt, you can guarantee yourself that you can hunt there from then on out every single year, and you have it figured out. That's huge.
Fucking, you know? A, dude. Amen, dude.
That is so huge. You can take a shitty-ass unit. Man. Exactly. You can take a shitty-ass unit that nobody has ever killed, maybe one Boone and Crockett deer in the whole flipping thing, and if you learn that unit and you hunt it the right way and you learn where the deer are and why they're there and everything like that, your success in that unit can be just as good or better than a premium unit because you've learned the unit,
right.
You've learned the deer in that unit or elk or whatever the hell you're hunting. You've learned it, and that is so huge.
Yep, absolutely. And you're hunting, you're learning. You know, you look at some of these guys that are sitting on, you know, 20 plus bonus points in Arizona waiting to draw that tag. It's like, you know, I mean, I know some of them probably hunt and get hunts in, but some of them, that's it, dude. That's the only tag they're ever going to draw in Arizona, you know,
or
a lot of states, you know, points and bonus points are getting out of control, dude. I mean, our kids are absolutely screwed, dude.
No,
absolutely
no,
screwed.
They're not.
They'll
because
never...
we're going to teach our kids how to hunt over the counter tags the right way.
Right, right.
You know,
yep.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
But they'll never, you know, point creep. They'll never catch it, dude. You know, it's kind of like
ever,
it's
ever,
sad,
ever.
Man. Yep.
And what's even more sad is
yep,
the people that
sad.
Are
really
stuck
is.
In the point creep, like toilet drain, and they're not
mm-hmm.
hunting other states that they could be hunting. And getting better and honing their skills
right.
and learning what it's like to be 20 yards from a 300-inch elk so that when they get the tag that they waited 40 years for and they're supposed to hold out for a 390-inch
yeah.
bull, they don't shoot the first 320-inch bull that walks by.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But.
Yep.
Yeah, so I kind of.
A lot of opportunities out there for people if they want to.
Yep. Yep, and I kind of basically have a lot of the same kind of tag ideas this year as you do. I just got my Idaho general deer tag this year already, my Montana tag. I will apply for a Colorado deer tag, buy a Colorado elk tag over the counter. I will get a South Dakota deer tag, and then I bought a point in Utah. So I will either buy a point or apply in Nevada, and then I will hopefully
mm-hmm.
hunt North Dakota and Nebraska as well, and Wyoming, obviously. So kind of the same as you, man. I just look for opportunity, and then I go hunt.
Right, right. Fuck, you're going to be busy, bro.
Right?
You're going to be busy.
That is the way I want
yeah.
it.
You better not let the wife find out about all that, dude.
I cleared it with my lovely wife. Before I started spending
nice.
The money.
Nice. Is she going to make you do all your chores before you go or what?
Well, we kind of have a deal. Like we were, since as you, I mean, you know, my wife, like she's really into archery as well. Thank God. So she loves to hunt, but she likes the tournament side more, which is awesome. So, basically she'll hunt with me in Wyoming. And we have several hunts that we do, just her and I, which is always – it's a blast. You know, it really is. And then
– that's awesome.
While I am using, you know, our money to go hunt, we agreed that she can use our money to go to tournaments. You know, so it works out really well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But
– that's cool. Definitely.
Anywho, man you know, it was a blast having you on the podcast. I really would – it would be awesome to have you back on the show, and we can pick a few – one or two topics and really dive deep just into those pockets – or topics. Dive deep into those pockets. That's what we should do.
Right.
You know, dive into those topics and you know, make it a tips and tactics podcast. That would be really awesome. I really enjoyed having you on the show.
Well, I thank you for having me on, Zach. It was a blast, dude.
Perfect, man. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Definitely, definitely, definitely got to do it again. Get down to some nitty-gritty stuff.
Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in to the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me
if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, one star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.